They told me what you doing. I said, what I'm about to do is turn the fuck up.
This is the 6-Star Booty, JT Energy. Open your ears and enjoy the experience. That is the Dark Match Podcast.
Hey guys, you're listening to the Dark Match Podcast, and this is your boy, the Amped Champion, Crash Jackson.
This is former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Tim Storm. On behalf of myself and Mama Storm, thank you for listening to the Dark Match Podcast.
Wonderful!
Do I have everybody's attention now?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your cracking open a beer. I didn't know that was where you were going to... I didn't know. I don't have a drink. I actually have coffee today. I barely slept last night, so... Unfortunately, my son is going through this wonderful phase where he feels like there's monsters in his room all the freaking time.
Just since he finally quit sleeping in your bed?
Well, he did for a long time, so like it just seems like every single week like we have to like persuade him with something else. Like originally... It was that Sonic that he just had to have, that talking Sonic that he is absolutely obsessed with. I'm sure you know all about it because he steals my headset now that I officially own a PS4. I finally, it took was a quarantine for me to be like, Shannon, like I'm going to go buy a PS4, and I got like a great freaking deal on it, so I couldn't pass it up. And the games have quickly multiplied. I started off with two games plus the Call of the Wild, the Hunter Call of the Wild, which is absolutely, that game is so addicting. Like when you were telling me about it beforehand, I was like, I don't know if that's my cup of tea. Now it's like, dude, that's all I want to play. Like I just want to go hunt. Like I don't even care how long. And then us last night too, like just bitching and moaning over the same exact course.
Motherfucking coyotes, man.
I only got one. I haven't gone back yet. I just need one more, and the mission's complete, but I didn't want to subject myself to more. But back to the original story. So we had to persuade him with a talking Sonic to get him to sleep in his own bed. And, like, I even told, like, Shannon, my wife, like, look, like, if you lay down in bed, you're just welcoming people to come into the bed, so we need to nip this in the bud. And it's nothing against her, like, he's always been a mama's boy, like, through and through. So, I finally, like, I bit the bullet, and, like, even after I said it, I was like, fuck, what did I just do to my life? I was like, dude, if you sleep in your bed for a whole week by yourself, I'll get you a TV for your room.
And oh, dear God, you're
I
idiot.
Know, man, I'm like, fuck, what did I just do to myself? I'm like, you're I just, idiot. I screwed myself. Problem is, I don't even know where I'm going to put a TV in his room. That's the worst part. Like, I it's an empty promise. Yeah, Shannon's not lying. Yep. So,
oh, yeah, she's totally right.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's no possible way unless we literally cut off the closet on one side and put Declan right there, which would make absolutely no sense. There's no way we're going to fit it up there. So I'm not one to break that... break the bad news right now, but yeah, I don't know how that's going to be accomplishable. So I'm hoping it doesn't last for a whole week. I'm praying for failure here because I have no idea how it's going to
get accomplished. That's great parenting right there.
That's awesome. I'm praying for I'm parent of the year. That should be the award right there. But
pretty much.
Yeah, that starts off on a sour note. But are you still an essential employee?
I've been working from home, dude, for weeks, not almost a month now.
Well, guess who else is essential employees? But we're gonna get to that on the back half. Yeah, you see that little tease that I did there, that little sprinkle, just a little sprinkle. But
yes, yeah.
Not a whole lot to talk about, but not a whole lot.
We skipped last week because you know.
Well, with the holiday, and then I was at
work.
I was not sick.
Let's just be honest. You were sick.
I was not
sick. You told me you were sick.
I didn't feel well. I wasn't sick. There's a huge... In today's day and age, like, watch those words, man. Like, watch in today's climate.
You can be sick without having the corona.
True. Yeah, I just didn't feel well. Like, I was tired. Like,
you were sick.
I had body aches. Like, I was coughing like crazy.
So you had the corona.
No, I'm just kidding. I was just reading off, like, what some of the symptoms would be. But I wanted to drop this episode last week, but and like coming off of like WrestleMania, like drop this guest, like it would have been perfect. But yeah, I did not have the energy at all last week. But I'm on vacation this week.
Of course you are.
Why not? I don't know why. And I was supposed to be on vacation next week. We were supposed to go to Florida with the family. My wife and I had like time off, so like we scheduled it. We were going to take the kids out of school for a week, but like we said, hey, we're going to take them out of school for a week, and they've taken them out of school for a month. So they took that to the extreme in school, but we were going to go. We had to cancel those plans. So Shane and I just kind of looked at each other. We're like, look, like let's give the sitter a little bit more time off, considering the circumstances. So sitter, yeah. Well, at this point, yeah, it is a sitter. It's not just, hey, can you watch Declan and make sure like he doesn't break everything? Like now, it's like they actually have to like homeschool him, like everything. So at this point, like the more time that we can spend at home, the better. So I talked with my manager. I was like, hey, can I move my vacation? Originally, I wanted to like pocket it, like can I use it like at a different point of the year, cuz like my next vacation is not until September. So I was like, maybe I can pocket it, like I can talk into like taking a vacation in like June or July and like take my kids somewhere. And now it's like, oh, this is never going to work. And they told me like, hey, it was already scheduled. It would either have to be like you move it or you flip-flop it like a week within this time frame. So I was like, you know what, I'm going on vacation next week then. They're like, fine, take that time off. So they gave me this week off. Shannon's off next week. So we have another 2 weeks where we don't work. So we have plenty of exciting interviews coming up, a lot of things in the works as well. And it kind of works to our advantage. Like, everyone's at home, so what else are they going to do? They're going to talk on podcasts or play on PS4 or Xbox One, and maybe we'll meet them there, but I don't want to take too much more time. Let's get right into our interview right now. I think he doesn't need any introduction whatsoever. I think, Dave, I speak for both of us when we say, whenever we ask people to mention individuals that need more, whether it be more followers or deserve more in the industry and should be on a bigger platform, the name that constantly gets referenced, no matter who we're talking to, is this individual that's on the line with us right now. Can you agree with that fact or no?
Oh, absolutely.
So on the line with us, we have the king of the one-night stand, none other than Jock Sampson, finally making an appearance on the show. How you doing, first and foremost?
Well, buddy, I'm surviving, man. I've been enjoying the lockdown alcohol and got a lot of moonshine. I got some, got a couple, three bottles of whiskey. My wife's got her pussy-ass wine and, you know, been sitting in the garage like an alcoholic, you know, just having a good time, actually enjoying. I'm actually one of the few wrestlers that's actually enjoying not wrestling at the moment. I get a lot of time with my daughter. You know, it's actually been really nice because a lot of times wrestlers are away from their homes to be able to spend that extra time on the weekends with her, playing video games, just doing whatever. It's been a blessing. I miss the money, and I miss the boys and the girls on the road. you know, except Andrew Palace, Justin Plummer, and Jack Pollock, to name a few, but
just a few.
Just a few. But, you know, I know people, a lot of people out there are religious. I always feel like maybe there's a reason for everything, and maybe this is why we need to be close to the ones we love. I don't, not talking about my wife, of course. I don't love her anymore. She's a wretched woman. My daughter, I love her.
Well, I think it's teaching a lot of people to be humble to what you have. There's some people in the world, unfortunately, I'm speaking for probably a few of our listeners too, that aren't as fortunate, that don't even know how they're going to pay their bills next month. So obviously, if anybody needs anything, like we've mentioned on our show numerous times, just reach out to us. We're more than happy to assist in any way that we possibly can. But it seems like this quarantine has definitely been a blessing in disguise for you to spend that time with your daughter. But what else, other than sitting in your garage drinking and avoiding your wife, what else have you done to kind of pass the times with all this free time that you have right now?
Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been watching a lot of Netflix documentaries. I'm sure everyone's been through the Tiger King. And
Yes. And let's touch on that really quick. Dave, have you watched Tiger King yet?
Dude, I actually had Netflix going today, and I had to try to find my rhythm, that if I found stuff that I hadn't watched, I probably was going to get even less work done. So I had to find just shit that I've watched numerous times just as background noise. So no, I have not watched Tiger King yet.
Okay.
So you've been watching The Office pretty much, right?
No, I did not. I just watched a bunch of other random movies that I've seen a bunch. I tried to avoid that because I knew it's like I would know everything and I'd probably still catch myself watching it.
You'd be doing like a report and you'd like put in there, like in your notes, you'd like put like the quote of the show because you know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. And then people are just pretty reading much. Blueprints, and it's like, that's what she said.
That's exactly what she said.
But Tiger King, Dave, if you haven't dived into this yet, you have to. This is
all right. It's completely random because I had to run to the store this morning, and on 92.3, of all places, they were talking about it.
It is
because
the
they've
craziest.
Run out of sports to talk about.
But like, if you watch this documentary, yeah, like I actually got introduced to it. Like, for those individuals that don't know, 92.3 is our sports station up here in the Cleveland area, and I actually got introduced to it from 92.3 The Fan because I think it was Dustin Fox. They were like going through and they were doing a segment that said like, "Hey, where like what shows should we watch because we have no sports." And Dustin Fox, former Ohio State alum, said, "You got to watch this trailer for Tiger King." And I was literally like counting down till when it was released, binge watched it. It is the craziest shit ever. Like, just when you think it couldn't get crazier, they just like drop a bomb on you. You're like, holy shit. And
insane.
Oh, yeah. Like,
just absolutely insane. That Carol Baskins is probably the most evil person I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. Like, thinking she's saving the world, and, oh, these tigers deserve to be free. Bitch, you got a zoo in your backyard. They're caged.
You got them in cages.
Shut the fuck up. Like, what a hypocrite. I fucking hate you, Carol Baskin. Dave, you got to watch
They're all it. Insane.
Oh, they're absolutely insane. But that Joe Exotic, oh, my God, what a meme-worthy individual that is now.
I almost feel like I'm related to him somehow. I feel like maybe... He's like my gay libertarian gun-toting uncle from Oklahoma, you know.
Oh,
just you know, because granted, I'm you know I got family in prison, so it probably wouldn't surprise me. It kind of runs into family, I guess.
Yeah,
all the cool people I ever met were in because they were in jail, you know. So,
well, like not only him, but like that what was his name? The guy from Vegas that. He's probably like
Jeff 50, Lowe.
Jeff Lowe, that like he's like 55, but dresses like.
Yeah, it looks like he's got the tattoo Respect on his neck from that movie.
He really
oh, no,
yeah.
No regrets.
Yeah. That's right, no regrets.
No regrets.
Yeah, he ain't got any, man. I tell you one thing, though, is him and that doc, I'd like to be able to pull down the tail they're pulling down, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are they putting in the water? What kind of lies are they telling?
Yeah. Like,
and I just need to say this right now. I'm watching, I got SummerSlam 92 on, and I'm watching Nails and Virgil have a shit show in silence here. It's probably the worst, one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen in my life.
Oh man,
Virgil and Nails.
Yeah, my buddy's got he's got the Ruthless Aggression documentary on in the background too. So we're trying to catch up.
I moved off of that.
If the coronavirus looked like a wrestling match, I think it would be this one.
It'd be Nails versus Virgil, absolutely. And good to know that whenever Virgil goes to conventions, a lot of people experience social distancing when it comes to his booth as well. So he's way ahead of the times.
Oh yeah, well I have a funny Virgil story that involves my wife.
Oh, please do tell.
It's not real funny, but we were in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and this is the same day she met Ric Flair. And my wife's not a wrestling fan. She never was, you know, probably for the best, to be honest with you. But Altoona, Pennsylvania, they had Ric Flair, they had Jim the Anvil, they had Jimmy Hart, I think Bret Hart was there. I mean, they had all these freaking names on this show for big time wrestling. My wife's out there selling my merchandise, and she's sitting right next to the beer, you know, the concession stand where they're selling beer. And she sends me a text and says, "Who's this lonely, bald black man with the belt with the money sign on it?" She says, "No one's been up to see him, and he just asked me to watch this dollar belt for him, and he was gone for an hour and a half. She didn't know where he went."
Oh, God.
And he came back and gave her $5 for watching it.
Big spender, my friend.
It wasn't a very good story, but just the idea. She's like, "Who's this lonely black man?" I said, "Oh, that's just Mike."
He's got the $1 million championship. He comes back and gives her $5 for watching it for an hour and a half.
It wasn't like he was selling anything anyway.
Really? He doesn't have he didn't have anything on his merch table?
No, just a bunch of pictures of Ted DiBiase, pretty much.
He's
him and a bunch of NWO t-shirts.
My God.
You know, Mike Jones, folks. Mike Jones.
Well, going back on to the wrestling talk, I'm sure you've... No. We're going to get off topic a lot, so strap in, folks. But
get on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you've been in the wrestling industry for quite some time. You grew up in wrestling. So now, especially when I asked when I was in quarantine, you were the first person to reply, 80s wrestling. Anything 80s wrestling. What kind of got you into the wrestling world when you were a kid?
Well, that's funny because, you know, I did a podcast a few months ago and they asked me the same question. Everyone always asks a lot of the same question. And that's not a big deal because that's what the only way I'm connected to you and anybody that never met is because of wrestling. So it always would interest people, you know, and I tell everybody. And this will be till the day I die. When I was a little kid, back when we had VHS. I'm 40 years old, so I tell you how old I am.
Oh, jeez.
So as soon as someone finds that out, they're going to be like saying, "Oh, we got to fire the old man. Got to get rid of the old man. We got to get these 20-year-olds in here." So you know how that.
That's you're not going anywhere, part. Jack. You're not going anywhere.
Well, I don't want to do anything in the ring anyway. I just want to talk shit and drink beer and cheat on my wife.
And you're very you good know. At that.
Well, I appreciate it.
Maybe not the last part, but.
Well, I don't know where y'all from, and I take it you're from Ohio.
Yep.
And a little town called Nelsonville, Ohio, where I grew up in. They used to have a little hardware store, a little mom and pop called LS, Lancaster Sales. And they used to have a video section in there that would just sell, that would rent videos for 99 cents a night. It was fantastic. Man, I miss those days. Going to video store was just a fantastic thing for me when I was growing up. Go get a new movie every weekend. I get three movies and a pizza, and I just sit there and watch it. So then I look up very top of the video bin, and I see a big monstrous man standing, looking down onto another monster man who was not as big, but you could tell one was just way bigger. And it was Andre the Giant looking down at Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 3, VHS. When I saw that, I said, "Man, I got to watch this." And then I absolutely fell in love with it. Got to see George the Animal, Steel, Macho, Steamboat. Oh, man, Hercules. Just you name anybody from that era. The Honky Tonk Man, Jake the Snake. I just fell in love with the wrestling business from that day on. I'm the biggest Hulk Hogan fanatic that you will ever run into in pro wrestling. To me, there's no bigger, better wrestler that's ever been around. I, you know, in-ring stuff, you could say whatever, but he is the greatest pro wrestler of all time. And I used to pose as a little kid after every time I'd watch a match of his. And, you know, Hulk Hogan, like they say, Hogan's got to pose. And I'd stand there in my living room and I'd be posing like Hulk Hogan, you know.
I think I went through like the same thing too, but with a different generation of superstars and very questionable poses at that.
Oh, yeah. And then when he lost to the Ultimate Warrior, you'll talk about someone that was just upset and distraught. Just upset me to death.
Weren't you an Ultimate Warrior fan?
I was. You know, I was just that big of a Hulk Hogan fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a huge Hulk Hogan fan. I was a huge Roddy Piper fan. You know, Macho when he turned babyface. You know, I was a huge Macho fan. I loved the Ultimate Warrior. It's hard. We used to have a ramp at our school where our elementary school is on top of the hill. And we legit had to walk down a damn ramp to on the bottom of the hill to go to the cafeteria and to play recess. It was the strangest damn thing you ever seen in your life. And I used to get a full head of steam going down that ramp, and I'd just be, and I'd just be running clothesline of my friends. Full tilt. I actually put a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, we were wrestling at elementary out there in our dirt pit, we used to call it. And I put him in a Boston Crab, and I actually put him in the hospital, broke a rib of his, and I didn't know what I was doing. I guess I was shooting unintentionally. And I always joke about it. Every time I see him, I'm always bringing it up. Said, I didn't mean to put you in the hospital, but, you know, you were a son of a bitch back in the day. So,
well, it's your fault you didn't tap, bro.
Hey, we didn't know what tapping was back in the day.
Well, yeah.
We just hold him until the referee rang the bell. Yeah. There were no referees around when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, around like my time, like it was like the big thing was like the figure four, and any opportunity you could throw someone into the figure four. Never put anybody in the hospital. Someone put me in the hospital one time. They speared me during a basketball game, but and ended up breaking my wrist. But that's the extent of my injuries. So
where was I for this?
You were there. Don't you remember when I broke my wrist?
No.
I was in sixth grade. It was before school, and the funny thing too, which aggravated my mom more than anything. Do you remember when we had medieval day, where we all had to dress up for medieval times for some reason?
Hell yeah, man! They had the pig head.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, it was
you guys had medieval day. We had let's fist fight our friend day.
Well, like
that's all we had to do. We were a bunch of redneck kids.
Yeah, we had medieval day that required us to dress up in a medieval attire, and we would have
I remember that.
Well, it was the day before, and my mom was so pissed because I broke my wrist, and the next day my arm was in a cast, and my mom literally made my costume from scratch, and she had to improvise because now the damn costume wouldn't go over my arm. And fuck my arm. Like, she was more pissed because you just couldn't wait to break your arm. It's like, yeah, I absolutely was anticipating this guy to spear the hell out of me on the basketball court. So sorry. And
who did it?
God, what was his name? I'm pulling a Pollock here. I'll tell you off the air. So
okay.
I'll tell you afterwards. When I say the name, you'll know exactly who it is, but wasn't in our grade, but, yeah, he speared me out of nowhere, and he yelled Goldberg before he did it too. Like,
oh, well, tell me his name. I need to tell this motherfucker off. What's his name?
His first name's Ray.
Hey Ray, listen here, you motherfucker. I pray to God that when you wake up in the morning that you have shit all over your fucking face, you piece of shit. You motherfucker.
Oh.
Go choke on a fucking dick.
My God.
See, I'm still going to leave this on Pat a little bit. He did at least give the common courtesy of yelling Goldberg first.
In a basketball game?
Goldberg never yelled Goldberg when he hits you with a spear.
No.
Hey, Kobe never yelled Kobe when he made the shot. Everybody just started yelling Kobe when they started shooting baskets. So I would figure it works the same.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I was actually one guy. I didn't like Kobe. I wasn't a big Kobe fan.
I never was either. I never got into Kobe.
I'm a LeBron guy.
You're a LeBron guy.
I'm a legit LeBron guy.
Same. Well, yeah.
Wasn't Larry Bird's my favorite of all time, but
yeah,
but
wasn't a LeBron. You can
imagine
guy after
a white kid from Appalachia as a Larry Bird fan. You know, heaven forbid, right?
Yeah, I was a big Mark Price fan when I. That's who got me into basketball was Mark Price. Obviously,
I remember that team.
Oh, that was a great team. It was a team that should have. Larry Nance, Brad Doherty, Hot Rod. Oh, that was the team. That was definitely the team that should have. Goddamn Elo. But yeah,
it wasn't Elo's fault.
I know it wasn't Elo's fault.
Hey, Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah, we'll blame him.
Yeah, the shot. I mean, we can't even go through like Cleveland Browns. No, we're not going to do that fucking horse face shit with John Elway. Fuck him.
I think you're the first person outside of my dad to ever call him horse face.
I call him horse face because I grew up around you and listened to your dad call him horse face my entire life. We've only been friends since kindergarten. I mean, I was over at your house one time. We were watching a Denver game, and your dad yelled at us. You're like, turn this shit off. I don't want to see horse face on any of our TVs.
I'm like, hey, Ernest Biner tried to call him that, but he actually dropped the name before he got in the end zone. So, I'm a Steeler fan.
Ooh, okay.
Well, this is a great interview.
This is
but
fun.
I'm not one of them pieces of shit from Western Pennsylvania, you know. Steelers fans who'd sell their fucking mother for a goddamn gold nickel or a bag of crystal meth amphetamine. That's the most flip-floppingest damn town I've ever been around in my life. That's the biggest flip-flopping town. Like, everyone acts like they're a big Penguin fan, but they were almost going to move, and that's why they got Crosby. So, they're an NFL town.
Oh, really?
They were going to move to Vegas. They were going to be the original Vegas team. The NFL, saved them.
No shit.
Yeah, so they got Crosby and changed the fortune. No one was going to the games.
I always remember the Penguins growing up, though.
Yeah, but those gingers, they act like they've been devoted their whole life, only when they're winning.
Oh, that's how Cleveland
only
is,
only when they're winning. Cleveland's not so bad. That's Cleveland's fault, though, is Cleveland fans will go no matter what.
Well, to the Browns, yes. To the Browns,
why would you change? If you're the owner, right, and you got a business, if people are still coming, what are you doing wrong as an owner? The owner's job is only to put people in the seats to make money. That's not his job to win. It'd be nice.
No, but it is his job to find the guy who puts the team on the field, and he hasn't been able to find the guy to put the team on the field.
Yeah.
Well, when you guys get someone in there, they're only in there for like 6 months, and then you guys change up and get rid of them.
Well, oh, trust me, that's constant rebuild. That is a whole sticking point. Yeah,
yeah. You see that sign when you're coming in, like, "Welcome to Cleveland." Like, please be patient. We're still rebuilding since 1999.
Okay, when I became a Steelers fan in 1987, Bobby Brister was the quarterback. Chuck Knoll was the coach. Right? Yeah. I've had. Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin. Those are the three coaches in the history of my life of my franchise. Think about that.
I think that we had three coaches in 2 years.
Yeah, we have.
Yes.
I know. That is the one thing that if you go through a lot of these franchises, Pittsburgh has ever gotten right. Ever since Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll, like you said, Knoll, Cowher, Tomlin. That's all you've had.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people think Tomlin sucks in Pittsburgh too. And then look what he did with that team this year. They went 8-8, and they were rotten with a bunch of third and fourth string guys.
With a guy named Duck.
Yeah.
We lost to a guy named Duck.
Mm-hmm.
And how did the Browns not beat? I just don't get it. But then again, I told my friend Miles Garrett.
Garrett.
Still, you had a lot more talent than Miles Garrett, though.
Well, yeah. Well, we have a lot of talent.
This is the most Cleveland Browns thing ever.
No,
we also had but it was also coming out that we had a head coach who would do stuff Monday through Friday, but then wouldn't implement it into the game plan Saturday, or would completely change the game plan.
Yeah, he would send a retraction out like Saturday night, like, "Hey, here's the actual game plan. Like, fuck what we've been working on all week. This is actually what we're gonna do."
He obviously had no idea what the hell he was doing.
No. Yeah, no. And every single person told them not to don't hire Kitchens. They wanted. There's so many people that wanted us to keep. William.
Greg Williams. Well, yeah. That and or hire Stefanski last year.
Yeah.
Greg Williams would have been your best chance. That dude would have, yeah. He would have kicked some ass.
But the problem was there was a lot of people that didn't like him, and that's why they kicked him out, because he was a real football coach. He was no bullshit. He was, look, this is your fucking job. Like, this is what I expect you to do. If you don't do it, I'll find someone that will. And trust me, there's plenty of people on the practice squad that will do anything for an opportunity to suit on Sunday. So if you don't want to fucking do it, I'll replace you with them. And a lot of those big name stars didn't like it.
It's what you get for firing Marty.
Mm.
The curse of Marty.
Oh, there's tons of curses in Cleveland. What are you talking about? Rocky Calavillo?
Trust me, my dad is also convinced that back in 99 we should have hired Marty Schottenheimer instead of Chris Palmer.
I agree.
That he would have found a way to take the team somewhere off of expansion.
Yeah. Yep. Look at how many coaches we've had since then. Look at how many quarterbacks we've had. I can't even. I've lost count of how many first round, like top five draft picks we've had since we've come back in 99. Like, I'll ask you, because you probably know, how many top five first round draft picks have we had since 99?
I'd actually have to go back. It's probably somewhere near 10.
Shit ton?
A shit ton.
Yeah.
And we can't produce anything. We, on paper, we're one of the best teams in the NFL, at least. Odell Beckham Jr., we got Jarvis Landry, Miles Garrett, Baker Mayfield. Okay, maybe not. But
Baker got a shit hand last year with Freddie Kitchens.
I agree. I don't know. We'll see what happens this year.
You just need to go get one guy who's going to be the buck stop here guy and leave it at that.
Well, I think Stefanski is probably going to be that guy, but anywho, so you were touching on.
Okay, buddy. All right. No,
No. You go.
I was going to say, the one last thought. With Baker Mayfield, it's you need an offensive line. You already get signed Jack Conklin. You have two all pros on that line, and you know pick number 10 is going to be an offensive lineman.
Well, anyone's better
than Robinson. It's probably going to be the kid from Georgia who's going to take over for Hubbard at a right tackle.
Well, let's see what happens at this point, but that's the one thing that's keeping me alive right now without sports is all this.
It's terrible.
Oh,
it's so weird.
All this stuff.
I've been so bored.
Yes, the Ocho was awesome though. When they came out with that, my God, death diving. Did you watch that shit?
No, I ain't watched none of it.
Oh man,
nah, I missed death diving.
Death diving. That had me hooked for a while. I mean, they had the professional rock skipping championship. They had head ping pong that's played with a soccer ball.
I watched Sign Spinning in the morning.
That was fun. That was funny. But that was hilarious. Death diving, literally, what can you do to not complete a dive but also don't kill yourself? And it was literally just like a high dive, like belly flop competition. Like, kill me now.
I've been watching How to Tame a Tiger by Joe Exotic.
Ooh. What other documentaries have you dove into during this quarantine?
I watched that, and I watched The Pharmacist, which makes you scratch your head.
I haven't watched that one yet.
I actually watched the Florida Championship Wrestling one on the network, which was okay. It was kind of boring. I wish they'd do one on OVW. I'm a big Jim Cornette guy, so I'd like to listen to that. I know it's going to piss people off, and you know what? Fuck you if it does.
I agree.
You know, I agree with a lot. I'm not going to be like him and you know, get mad about stuff, but I agree with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He says, but I'd like to for that to happen. OVW would be a big one though. I haven't really, you know, I watched that one and I've been watching some movies here or there that I ain't seen in a while. And then I've been organizing my garage.
Well, what do you got going in your garage? Is it just like, did you turn it into like a makeshift bar, or are you fixing stuff up?
Yeah, it's my It's my doghouse, my escape from my wife.
My
I'm just
garage.
Looking for a Dale Earnhardt sign to put in there, because if I don't get a Dale Earnhardt sign, it's going to be a true garage.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for it. So
we'll have to find a good one.
Yeah, we'll have
to. You
got to
get one of Earnhardt bow ties.
Ooh. I mean, like, I'm sitting next to my bar right now, but I don't have anything cool up. That.
Like, you got, like, the 8 billion shot glasses.
Well, yeah. Like, every place I go to, like, I got to get a shot glass. Like, it's a fun story whenever you're doing a shot. Like, you just go over and to kind of give you a visual, Jock, in my basement, the reason why I picked this house, and my wife fully admits it, too, because she knows I'm 100%. That's one of the reasons why. The wet bar was a huge plus, but they actually have, like, shelving. Like, right above, like, right, it's weird to describe, but, like, I have a, my ceiling comes down a little bit for the duct work. So, on the ends of them are shot glass shelves, and it's just a full line down the basement. So, I used it to put my shot glasses to display, and I have over, like, 400 shot glasses, and almost every place I've ever been, I grab a shot glass. So, That was my big selling point. So, yeah, I have over 400 shot glasses, everything from have some from Vegas, have some from China, have almost every sports team that a city I visit, I have a shot glass from there. Not Pittsburgh, though. That will not be in my household. I have no problem here. But I did just notice that I do have a Pittsburgh Steelers teacup, though.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Better nothing.
Yeah, those teacups.
I got something you could put in. I'm looking at a nice, good picture of Jack Lambert on my wall.
Ooh,
a nice Jack Lambert. That one with he's missing teeth, getting ready to punch Cliff Harris in the Super Bowl. What a picture that is. That again, right next to my Pete Rose, giving the middle finger to Fred Lynn.
Ooh.
Picture. So yeah, I'm a big sports guy, man. You're not gonna find, honestly, in wrestling nowadays, you're not gonna find too many guys that are in the sports. You get a lot of guys that are into video games and going home after shows and not going to the after party, which I don't understand.
No, but we're big on the after party. So we're big after partiers. So the party doesn't stop; it continues. So
absolutely.
All in all, now you've mentioned that you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. We know that you're an Ohio State fan as well.
Yeah.
So what, obviously with growing up in Ohio, was that what kind of brought you into Ohio State? Because at that point, I mean, wouldn't being there, what kind of brought you to being a Steelers fan and not just keeping with Ohio and kind of going from there?
Well, my parents got divorced when I was maybe like 5 years old. And growing up in Ohio, as you know, you're going to be an Ohio State fan because it's always on TV. I've always been a big proponent of, if I can watch it, that's who I'm going to root for. You know, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, which a lot of the Steelers are the only team outside of Ohio that I root for. The only team. So my dad married a lady from Steubenville, Ohio. And I don't know if you know anything about Steubenville, but it's...
Yes.
Pretty much Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And I spent my weekends every other weekend with them. And her brothers would be in there. My stepmom's brothers would show up, and they look like they were out of the steel mill. They would have the big, Brain Busters jacket with the Steeler jacket. They'd have their hat on. They'd be in their steel-toed boots or blue jeans, and they'd be drinking their Iron City beer while watching the game, and I grew up around it. So a lot of people give me crap because I'm a Steelers fan from Ohio, and I'm like, man, Bubby Brister was the starting quarterback when I became a fan. I'll tell you, and a lot of people say, who?
I remember Bubby. Yeah, I think I have a Bubby Brister card lying around somewhere.
I remember watching the Browns beat the Steelers 50-something to nothing on opening day one year.
51-0, I believe it was.
It was 51. Webster Slaughter and Rod Woodson got in a big fist fight on the field and got ejected. Remember it like it was yesterday.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah, you know, the Cleveland Browns are almost turned into like Michigan Wolverine fans. Their best days were a long time ago, and they like to bring it up.
Hey, like at least we understand. At least we understand it's really far back in time, and we know we suck now. Yes. Unlike Michigan, who's like, oh, we're still great and relevant, even though they haven't done shit for a decade.
There's a bunch of assholes calling themselves the champions of the West. They're closer to New York City than they are Pacific Ocean. Then kiss my ass.
Yeah, I've never. No. I moved to Michigan for 9 weeks. That place sucked.
Loser.
I couldn't get out quick enough.
Whole state smells like hot dog water.
Yes. The best sign in Michigan is now leaving Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, it's
the place in the world.
Yeah, it really kind of is.
Wait, what were you going
to
say?
No, I was going to say really, it doesn't really tell you you're leaving Michigan. It's welcome to Ohio. Thank God you're out of Michigan.
Yeah. Well, welcome back. Right. Welcome back. What were you thinking? That's what the sign should say.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's pretty much how I became a Steelers fan. It was just that. It was just spending time around them. And I guess when you're a 7-8-year-old kid, you're pretty impressionable.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a big person on, like, you root for who you should be a fan of who you were as a kid. If you were a Cubs fan as a kid, you should be a Cubs fan. I know a lot of dudes out there that like teams, you know, all of a sudden there's a bunch of Patriot fans out there, you know.
Yeah.
Bandwagoners.
Yeah, the bandwagoners are a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
There's this piece of shit over in Lima, Ohio, and this piece of shit likes Dallas Cowboys, Florida State, anything but Ohio.
What?
His name's Mike Hearn. He's a piece of shit. And, yeah, I'll just call him out. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
I don't care if people like me or not.
Well, Mike Hearn, you're a piece of shit. You live in Ohio and you don't support Ohio. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, he's one. Yeah, he's always like cheering for this is the kind of piece of shit. Always cheering for people that's not from Ohio. But he said I like Bowling Green. It's like, oh, okay. Well, you went to college there, so
yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
Well, go Toledo in that regard then. Fuck Mike Hearn.
Yeah. Bowling Green, worst college town I've ever been to.
Yeah. I actually used to date a girl that went there, and then she got kicked out, and she went to Owens. So that tells you the extent of that.
Yeah, pretty much. That or Muncie, Indiana. Muncie, Indiana sucks, too. So.
Yeah. So, I have a similar story, but, like, I had to go outside of Ohio. Like, I became, like, a huge Cleveland Browns fan right around the time that they moved. And I'm like, well, shit, like, who am I going to cheer for now? Well, I kind of jumped. I didn't really jump on a bandwagon. I was a big Ohio State fan. Well, where did our top running back go to? Well, he went to Tennessee. Well, at the time, he went to Houston. But I started becoming an Oilers fan. Well, then they became the Titans. They were in the Super Bowl. And Dave can attest to this. My entire time in elementary school and middle school, I was called a bandwagoner because obviously they went to the Super Bowl and everyone's like, well, you just like them because they went to the Super Bowl. It's like, no, I actually liked them when they were the Houston Oilers too because they got Eddie George. So, And still to this day, I still root for the Titans. I still cheer for them every now and then unless they're playing the Browns. And then I'm a huge Browns fan, but I'll still go to the games. I actually have a rule that if I go to Nashville for the game, I go in Cleveland Browns gear. But if I go to Brown Stadium for the game and they're playing the Titans, I wear my Titans gear. I always.
You're an idiot.
Yes, yes.
I did not know that you actually did that. You're an idiot.
I did it one time, and it was the worst mistake I've ever made in my entire life. They actually came up to me because I think it was opening game, too. It was opening day. And me and my you know this person very well. My friend, he goes by the moniker Hot Sauce, who's also a Titans fan, who grew up in Tennessee. We went to the game, and they actually came up to us in like the start of the third quarter. It was like halfway through the quarter at this point. And a security guard comes up to us. He's like, hey, for your own safety, you might want to leave now. And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, there's still like a quarter left in the game. He goes, these people behind you are pretty fucking pissed that you're kicking. We're like, we're not kicking anybody's ass. We're just watching the game. He's like, just fucking leave. It's like, just get out while you still can. And we just went bar hopping from there. We changed our shirts, obviously. So it wasn't our smartest of decisions, but one of my favorite memories is going to the Titans game in Nashville where the Browns came back in the fourth quarter. That was a fun experience. Nothing's better than being at an opposing stadium, and it's just a sea of brown and orange, and the home team has to call a timeout because the visiting fans are so loud you can't hear the play call on the field. That was a fun moment.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. Yeah, it's like being a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
Right there.
Well, I mean, when we play the Steelers at home, I mean, Jesus, it's a sea of black and gold. I mean, you guys come out of the woodworks for that. But now, in the sports talk, with when it pertains to the Cincinnati Reds and baseball today, how are your current thoughts right now going into the season whenever it plans on starting?
Bro, I tell you, I just want it to happen, man. I think the Reds have basically went out and actually tried. They're going to try to win this year. Whether they do or not, welcome to being the Reds fan. I'm just thankful that I got to see them win a World Series in 1990. So at least I can say that. But, man, I would love to see it again.
Well, our biggest thing is we were supposed to go to the game tomorrow, too. That's what pisses us off. We had opening day tickets.
Yeah, dude, don't remind me.
I know, dude, I'm sorry.
I was praying to God it was going to be like 35 and blizzard. And no, what's it going to be? Fucking 62 and sun.
Man, yep. I tell you, there's nothing worse than missing baseball season. And dude, I doubt we'll get a full season. We're not going to get a full season.
Oh no! We'll be lucky if they start up in July.
Oh, easily.
Like, that's what I'm afraid of. Like, that's what I'm afraid of. It's like, how late are they really going to get going?
But I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to set well for a team like Cincinnati, maybe Cleveland, to get hot.
That's true.
Because you start the season hot, man, could be a little different. So let's just, you know, I hope, man, that the Reds can put it together.
I hope to God they can get this season going. Like, Mariano Rivera even came out today. Like, how can you call yourself a champion if you're in a 60-game season? Like, it's going to be
pretty right.
It's going to be one of those, like, even, let's say the Reds win. Let's say the Indians win. Whoever wins. There's always going to be that asterisk next to it. And that people are going to continuously say, like, oh, well, it was the shortened season. It was the Corona season, I guess, is the moniker it will be.
Well, here's my thoughts on this. Is it wouldn't matter. They've got so many damn wild card teams, right?
Yeah.
In the playoffs. You got teams going to the World Series winning 84 games. So I don't really have a problem with calling someone a champion if they win 60 games. Because you still got to go through the playoffs. You know, I'm a big proponent. I don't like the wild card. I hate it. Hate it how they added teams. I like the four divisions, the two top people. Because I feel like at 162 games, first place team should be playing, not a second and third place team. Not a wild card. Hate the wild card. Hate it. You're not going to hear that from many people, but I hate the wild card. I think a true champion is one who wins 100 games, goes to the World Series, 90 to 100 games. This team's in the 80s going, it's just, it doesn't really feel like it. Because what are they, 84 and 70, 78? The Cardinals won back in 05, 06. Won 84 games with World Series champion. Six games above 500.
Yeah, but if you think about it at that point, though, back in like 05, 06, it was still only the one wild card team. That just tells you how bad the rest of the league was.
No, I agree. Completely agree. I just I understand what they're doing. I get it.
Yeah. Like, I'm fine. I was fine with the one wild card team. I hate the place that was like the play-in game, essentially.
The shits.
Yeah, that one's terrible. If you're going to do that, you should make it a 3-game series, but they should really get rid of it in the first place. But I think their whole thing was, especially American League, you were starting to get a couple of these, like why the top wild card team was like the second team in the East or the West, and they still almost had 100 games. So they were trying to get like the second wild card team who still had like 92, 93 a shot. Like, no, just leave the one wild card team, call it a fucking day.
I agree. I just think there's, you know, nobody wants to watch, you know, that much baseball. When you had the championship series, you had one game every night, then you had the World Series. It was a big fucking deal. You know, watching three playoff games in a night, you know, not everybody likes baseball. You know, they're not going to sit and watch baseball. Poor bastards, but, you know, they're not going to sit and watch three games in a day.
Right.
I will, but...
So will Dave.
I'm old school in a lot of things. I'm old school in a lot of reasons.
I'll sit and watch baseball.
It's kind of sad that people, like... It's kind of sad that, like, people just, like, will... And people have put it. People will sit there and watch football all day, but they can't watch baseball, and baseball on average is quicker and I think technically has more action time.
I think it's the contacting.
Well, people are losing their idea in sports anyways. People are just for some reason ain't got time for anything. No. You know? They don't have time for sports.
No, because everyone's just staring at their fucking phone all day or now they're, like you mentioned earlier, it's the whole thing of video games. Like I enjoy playing video games, but I don't make a life of it. Like, get the fuck out, you know, go do something outside, go to a goddamn baseball game. It's, to me, it's summer. Baseball, beer, hot dog is fucking summer.
Nothing more beautiful than a baseball game. Nothing more beautiful.
No.
It's nothing more American.
That's it.
It's my favorite time of year. Nothing
like it. Mm-hmm. Now, if we don't get fucking here, I can actually enjoy myself.
Oh, my God.
I'll be sitting in my pool, have the Reds game on. I'll put my truck around my pool, and I'll be listening to it on the radio. Nothing better to me than that. And if they're not on, I'll be listening to NASCAR. One of the two.
So, well, that's one that I think Dave can attest to. He can sit and watch a NASCAR race all day as well.
Oh, hell yeah.
I've never gotten into it. Never gotten into it. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, it's not for everybody, you know. I wouldn't be a fan if I didn't grow up where I was, where I'm from. Like, you know, you grew up, you've seen Dale Earnhardt hats and Richard Petty hats. You know, I was a Ricky Rudd fanatic when I was a kid. I loved Ricky Rudd. I don't know why, but I just did. I liked the Rooster.
It was a Tide car.
Yeah, with a fucking Tide car. I had a Tide hat. I had a number 10 Tide hat I wore my last 2 years of high school. I wore for two years.
I think I guarantee you buried in a box somewhere. I think in a box at my parents' house, I probably still have a little Ricky Rudd 10 Tide car die cast.
Well, you find that and take a picture and send it to me. I'd love to see it.
Oh, I'm going to have to go find that now.
Yeah, I never. I think I had like a NASCAR, like I don't even know who it was. It was like a Duracell car or something. I don't even know who the heck it was. No idea. Never really followed it. I don't even think I've sat down and watched a race, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you don't have to sit down and watch a race. You can just have it on in the background and go about your business.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. But the thing is, too, like I'm weird about it. Like I can sit and watch baseball. I can watch basketball. I can watch football. But one of my favorite things to watch, like during the summer, I love golf too.
Can't do it.
Love golf.
I'm too poor.
I love golf, so I could watch golf.
I don't have money. Yeah, I don't have money, but I can easily sit there. I can watch some good golf.
Yeah, I'm just not a golfer. And, you know, I don't even like to play golf. I don't got the temperament for it.
Well, I don't either, but I enjoy it.
Fuck! I broke a golf club once.
I threw one into a fucking pond once. So, and I knew it was user error. It wasn't even the fucking club. But I made sure that damn thing could fly by the end of the golf round too. I mean,
same here.
Well, I'm a golfer with a drinking problem. Well, actually, I'm a drinker with a golfing problem.
Drinker with a golfing problem.
Yeah, definitely. Like that's my excuse. Like I don't even make sure I have enough balls for the round. It's like, hey, do we have enough beer? It's like that's the main thing that we make sure of. Like I buy my golf bag to make sure that it's got a built-in cooler in it. And my only question is, how many beers can I fit in here? They're like, and every single person knows that answer too. But kind of moving away from the sports talk. Now you had mentioned how you're kind of floating around between documentaries, movies, and stuff like that. Outside of being in quarantine, I think a question that we ask quite a bit, but. What are your top three movies that no matter, even if you just got back, you're driving back from IWC or from Greektown or any other promotion, Three movies, no matter what time of night it is, if it's on TV, you're watching it from start to finish.
Godfather, Goodfellas, White Men Can't Jump.
Those are some good choices right there. But
I'm a big mob fanatic. I love anything to do with the mob, mob movies, mob history. I love it.
Same.
Well, I pretty much based my whole career off of White Men Can't Jump. Shit talking. Nothing like it.
Oh yeah, you got to talk shit. I mean, if you don't believe you're the best or know that you're the best, then what the hell are you doing anyway?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, wrestling's more about moves to people nowadays, and I've never been a person who gave a rat's ass about fucking moves or spots, and I don't really understand. Like, I want personality. I've never sat down and watched one Ring of Honor show in my life. I've never seen one Dragon Gate show. Maybe the old Impact TNA. When it was TNA, I watched a few shows. But if they ain't got nobody that's got a big personality, I don't care about moves. I don't care about wrestling moves. They're just filler.
Well, when we grew up on big personality. If you couldn't, like, you look at Dusty Rhodes or Ric Flair, yeah, were they good in the ring? Yeah, but they weren't the best wrestlers, essentially. They could go a long period of time, but they drew us in because of what they were saying. The personalities, the stories that they told, and yeah, you hated this person because of this, and you love this person because of that. And I think that's a lost art nowadays.
Absolutely. You know, I was telling someone the other day, if Chris Benoit would have had, let's just say, Jimmy Valiant's personality, he would be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
I agree.
He would be considered because he had the technical skill, and that's evident, but didn't have the personality. And I'm not saying Jimmy Valiant, but if he would have had Piper's, just say Piper's, and could talk a little bit. You know, Bret Hart didn't get esteemed by people until he could start cutting promos back in 96 and 97. When he went heel, when he actually started cutting real good promos, people really started loving him. He became the hottest wrestler in the world for a couple of years. You know, the stuff where he was pro-Canada, you know, the whole pro-Canada, anti-U.S., that stuff is phenomenal.
Yeah. I think that's roughly around, like, what really drew me in more than anything was the anti-establishment, the anti-USA, you have no respect for me, here I am, I'm Canadian, you don't like me because I'm Canadian. And when he really went heel, that's that feud between him and even with Stone Cold, that WrestleMania 13 match,
mm-hmm.
that ultimate flip, whether they plan that or not, but to turn someone going in there as a babyface and a heel, and at the end the heel's the babyface and the babyface is the heel, that's storytelling that you don't even see a whole lot in wrestling anymore. They don't tell Absolutely. Stories. It's all who can get the biggest spot in.
Yeah, like, and I won't bury anyone for being involved in that kind of, liking that kind of wrestling. Or,
no.
You know, to each their own, you know, I'm not the, there's a lot of stuff that I, you know, like I said, I agree with a lot of stuff Jim Cornette says, but I'm not going to go be a prick to people about it because, you know, I like baked potatoes. Some people like mashed potatoes. Some people like fried potatoes, you know. Everyone likes something different. You know, and in this day and age, you really can't, you know, it's just going to cause you a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Bunch of stress, because Lord knows if you disagree with someone nowadays, people get all crazy and call you out on fucking Twitter and Facebook.
Agreed. So. Yeah. There's a lot of hate going on Twitter. But speaking of hate, Dave, have you seen Godfather yet?
No.
Oh my God.
You need to, man. It'll change your life.
Haven't seen that. I've seen 3/4 of Goodfellas and haven't seen White Man Can't Jump.
Jesus fucking Christ.
You better get on top of that.
My God. Well,
yeah, Pat, it's been easily about
a year.
4 or 5 months since it's been 4 or 5 months since you've actually laid into me with other people.
Yes.
About this.
Well, when he says his favorite movie is Godfather and then also Goodfellas, you haven't seen Goodfellas all the way through. You still haven't even attempted Godfather.
Nope.
Have you, here's a, it's not really a mob movie, but it kind of is. One of my favorite movies is A Bronx Tale. Have you?
No, I haven't seen it.
You still haven't seen it? I love that movie.
Great. The part where they lock the bikers into the bar and says, well, now you can't leave. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah.
Now you just can't leave.
I will never forget the look on their faces. All eight of them. Their faces dropped. All their courage and strength was drained right from their bodies. They had a reputation for breaking up bars. But they knew that instant they made a fatal mistake. This time they walked into the wrong bar.
We're going to get back to that, Dave, on a different day. We're going to talk about movies that you still have not seen. We're still making that shirt of where people can just cross off if you've actually seen the movies or not. And like my,
no.
Yes, we are. There's so, name some of your favorite movies, Jock, and we'll see if Dave has seen them. Just list off a couple. Yeah, Dave, you knew it was coming.
Well, Godfather 2.
That's a no.
Wow. You know, I've always got a top three. I guess I never thought further than that. When I was a kid, I was still very fond of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, to be honest with you. Very fond of it. Still very fond of it. Me and my daughter were watching now. I love it.
Okay. Well, on the topic of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, have you had a conversation with your daughter about how Grandpa Joe is a piece of poop?
Oh, he's a big piece of shit, dude.
Oh, he's the biggest piece of shit in cinematic history, my friend. I actually like posted a video on like my personal profiles where I actually educated my kids. Like, look, you see that guy right there? He's a piece of poop. I don't say shit in front of my kids unless I'm mad, but he's a piece of poop. And who the hell sits in bed, makes a 10-year-old kid work his ass off so you can get your tobacco, but the second he gets a free ride to a chocolate factory, you're like, oh, here you go. Like, I'm up out of bed. And then,
yeah.
Who's the
reason? I ain't dancing. I'll drive for 2 hours on the road and then get out. I ain't singing and dancing. I'm limping around.
Yeah, same.
He's been bed for 20 years. What he been doing? Shitting it? Pissing the bed?
Exactly. He's a piece
letting
of
poor
shit.
Charlie come over there and wipe his ass?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, lifting nothing like smuggling fizzy lifting drinks, you know?
Yeah, big piece of
and
shit.
Getting mad. Big piece of shit.
Well, my favorite part is at the end where he's like, when he's like, the chocolate factory's yours. And it's like, oh, like, get, like you can invite anyone you want. And then what does Grandpa Joe say? Even me? Like, bro, you got your wife back at home. You got your daughter that's been taking care of you for 20 fucking years. And your first question is, even I can come? It's like, fuck
you. You know Grandpa Joe. You know Grandpa Joe's calling a side bitch.
Oh, yeah.
It's you like, know he's got a side bitch.
Oh, yeah. Probably changes his bedpan, too. Piece of shit. Fucking hate Grandpa Joe. Fuck Grandpa Joe. But here's a movie for you, Dave. Have you seen The Irishman yet on Netflix?
No, I don't have 12 hours to watch it.
Well, you do now.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing, bro? We quarantined.
The world's here, man. Everyone's off work.
Yeah, like you're working from home, you just got to be logged in. Like, just click the mouse a few times, man. That's what they're counting.
No, I actually have. No, I'm not Dan who can just sit there and watch every fucking Marvel movie.
Yeah, our buddy has watched 13 fucking Marvel movies.
We still got to get a set of plans out here soon.
I might dabble into another documentary. I think The Pharmacist is calling my name now.
It's a pretty different movie. It'll scare the hell out of you.
Have you seen, if you're into documentaries, have you watched the documentary Don't Fuck With Cats?
Can't do it. I love cats, so I can't imagine someone killing a cat. They said don't watch it in the first little bit. Like, I can't watch it, and I can't watch that Gabriel Hernandez.
I can't either. I used to be a huge fan of Gabriel. Like, oh, no, I'm thinking of Gabriel Iglesias. What the fuck? God.
Yeah, fuck that guy. I watched the disappearance of that. The disappearance of Gabriel Iglesias. That's what we've been waiting for.
I don't think he's that funny.
I don't either now.
Yeah, it's like Seinfeld. I don't find Seinfeld funny. People don't understand that. So,
mm-hmm. Some episodes.
Let me know when you figure out why he's funny. I can't figure it out.
I never understood why people love Seinfeld. He literally says it's a show about nothing.
I feel the same way about Big Bang Theory. I gave that a shot. Without the laugh track, I don't laugh. Like, I don't think I've ever really, like, I watch it back now. I'm like, this isn't even anywhere near funny. So I know we're like shitting on a lot of things right now, but fuck it. I have my own opinions.
Well, you know what? We're the only three talking about it, and if people out there don't like them, then kiss our ass.
Well, yeah. I mean, we could talk about wrestling if we want to, but, I mean, shit, there's not a whole lot of wrestling going on. I mean, all shows have been canceled, and the only thing we got to live on right now is Netflix and social media, so why the fuck not?
And 1980s wrestling.
Exactly, exactly. But obviously, we don't want to take too much more of your time. Obviously, you got a doghouse to get to and some beer to drink and some moonshine to consume as well. But if you do want to follow along and find out where you can find Jock and maybe you can have a beer with him or watch a game with him, you can find him all across social media. We got him tagged in all of our posts. And if you're not following him already, what the hell are you doing with your life? Some of the funniest content you'd see, even in a world without wrestling, he's still bringing you wrestling content from the comfort of his own home, whether it's his new house guest or his wife, Linda, that's always on his ass, that just recently got social media as well. I got a friend request from Linda.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That devil woman. She's a devil woman, man. I tell you. Hang on a sec. Okay. I'm going to put her on the phone.
All right. We going to talk to Linda now?
Linda. Hang on a sec. Wait a sec. They're asking about Linda. Tell everybody hi.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda. I've been telling them how big of a piece of shit I think you are.
Well, I think the same about you. What's your point?
Well, we can agree on that.
My God. Well, at this point...
Now, if that ain't love... That's what's called been together 10 years. Like, I'm giving her the finger. Goodbye.
I'm coming up on 10 years, too, and that's how we greet, too, yeah. That's pretty truthful. If my wife was sitting down here right now, she'd be throwing a boot at me.
That's very true.
That's happened quite a few times, yeah. Dave's actually been in the line of fire.
We actually get along pretty well. Me and Linda get along pretty good. Like, we've been together 10 years, you know, and very tolerable woman letting me go cheat on her like she does.
That's a woman right there.
That's very true. That's love.
Well, she's legitimately deaf too. So I do tell her that I cheat on her. I don't know if she hears it. So it might, you know, at least I tell her and get it off my conscience.
Now, where did you guys meet, and how did you guys meet?
Well, back when I had a real job, when I wasn't wrestling for a living. I was still wrestling, but I wasn't as good then. I didn't understand how to wrestle. She was my boss.
Really? What did you do?
I wanted to bang out my balls. She was pretty cool.
Now, what did you do before you started working full time? Wrestling full time.
Well, there's a company called Wood County Society, and what they do is they run a camp called Camp Echo. It's a camp for disabled kids. A lot of people, I'm a piece of shit, but I will put it over. I do. I met her through that. Like, she is a, besides being the best cashier at Dollar General, she is a quality assurance lady for a company called Rest Care in Parkersburg now. But I met her through the Wood County Society and their Camp Echo that we do. I've been doing for about 10, 15 years now.
That's awesome. I actually worked at a camp just like that as well. So I worked at a camp with children with learning disabilities many, many years ago and attended it quite a few times and then became a counselor there. So I applaud you. It's definitely not an easy job to have. So it takes a lot of patience.
It takes a lot of patience, but at the same time, man, it's a lot of fun. We do a wrestling show on Monday nights. We bring in Zach. Well, if we're able to do the camp this year, it's depending on, God forbid, anything going on.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have Zach Gowan come down, and Greg Irons are going to come do a show at the camp. You know, I'll be wrestling, and I'm the only place where people like – there's only two places people like me. It's Canada, which I don't understand why they like me. I'm a Trump-loving, gun-toting kind of guy, and Camp Echo. So – I'm hated everywhere else in the world, even in my own house.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my wife just entered the room and she gave me the one finger salute too. So I didn't
told you were number one.
She told me I was number one. Yeah, that's her her greet. No words exchanged. We just made eye contact, and she immediately flipped me off. So I guess it's that 10 years together thing. We're not quite there, but maybe at the 10 year mark, I'll get the double finger.
Well, it's called being real, not being fake.
Yes. Well, she just gave me the double salute. So, and she just made cold. She just made a drink, and she's not even gonna make me one.
Stone cold.
Get the fuck out of here! Now she's trying to give me a wet willy. Fuck.
Right. I just want my wife to leave me alone.
Well, my wife had me alone for like an hour, and then she came down here in the latter parts of the interview to piss me off. She does have a book though, so maybe she'll leave me alone. No.
Well, you never know.
I know she might throw something at me. I'm very terrified right now. Send help. No, she's good. I think I can't see. I got a hood on right now. Where are you? Okay, she's gone. All right. So once again, Jock, we don't want to take too much of your time. We want you to go enjoy your family, enjoy your time off here, and hopefully we'll see you in a wrestling ring very, very soon. I mean, I'm having withdrawals. I'm like an addict, man. I can only watch so much of the same match so many times. Obviously, there's plenty of different ventures that you can go down with professional wrestling, but nothing beats that feeling of watching it live and in person. And I mean, with this storyline you got going in IWC right now, vowing for that title, come on, I need it back now. So I was like,
I need to be the IWC champion. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't want me to be the champion because I don't do a lot of moves, and I'm not landing on concrete. I'm not doing this or that. I ain't wrestling for spots. I'm wrestling to win championships, man. That's it. I want the gold sucker. They should put me in the Super Indy tournament this year.
We completely agree.
But they won't. They won't.
Why not?
Because heaven forbid if they actually see a headlock takeover. You know, heaven forbid. If someone actually doesn't decide to land on, you know, fall down, land on his head, you know.
Well, I'm vouching for it right now. We need Jock Sampson in the Super Indy tournament. I mean,
hashtag Jock for the Super Indy.
Right now, let's start it right now. So few spots.
Or
Jock for the gold.
Yeah, or Jock versus Jimmy Vegas. Why the fuck not?
Well, they won't let it happen because for some reason Justin Plummer's got his mind set on certain things and people to kiss his ass. I mean, if Justin Plummer would take 15, 20 minutes from sucking on Wardlow's ass and kissing his ass, he might actually be able to realize how good I am.
Oh, I'm vouching for it right now. We need Jock in the Super Indy tournament. We need Jock for the gold right now. Use those hashtags across the board because if I don't see Jock Sampson in the Super Indy tournament, I don't know what I'm going to do. And if I don't see a Super Indy tournament, I don't know what I'm going to do either. Regardless if Jock's in it or not, we need some fucking wrestling right now. So let's get things going. I mean, social distancing. The sooner you stop going to the goddamn stores and being around people, the faster we can get away with this and on with our lives. So
quit hoarding toilet paper.
Yeah, fuckers.
Seriously.
Give me my goddamn shit tickets, please, man.
Can somebody please tell me why toilet paper and bread have been the things that everyone's been hoarding?
I mean, they're going to go bad. Bread only, it does have an expiration date, for fuck's sake. You don't need 15 loaves of bread. It's just like I was in the store the other day. There were people walking out with like 16 gallons of milk. Like, unless you're chugging this shit, it's going to go bad very quick.
Yeah.
I don't get it. The toilet hoarding, paper.
Sure. Be nice to each other, and fuck off.
All
How about
right.
that?
Kind words from like Jock Sampson. So I think Shannon has like kind of alluded to me that I cannot do the podcast unless I'm drinking. So I was originally enjoying my coffee. Since we pushed record, she brought me over an alcoholic beverage. And like she's like, you need this. Like your show sucks right now. I don't know. She just like literally like went and filled it up like between.
I wouldn't be surprised if she really feels that way.
She does. She's like sitting over on the couch. She's yelling again. Like we included her in one episode, and now she's like, no. Like I don't want to do it. No. Like just stop yelling. Just stop. If you want to get involved, you know how to get involved. There's a microphone over here. You can
come on, Shannon.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Damn it. She started letting you, like, the kids for school, too, use the headphones. Like,
no!
Yes. Yes. Like,
it is sacred property.
It is sacred property. Wait until she starts letting them, like, oh, well, daddy's got a studio. You can just, like, record down there for your project. Like, no.
No!
This is us. This is sacred. This is... It's not sacred whatsoever, but whatever. So, we kind of alluded to this at the start of the episode. Essential employees. The governor of Florida has deemed professional wrestling as an essential business.
They did that, and I think as part of that, or maybe it was earlier today... They also said professional sports are an essential business, which just opens up the spring train, like the starting baseball at spring training facilities debate all over again. But yes, wrestling.
But why? But that's the thing, though. Like, why not? Like, if there's not a crowd, like, why not just, like, give us something? Like, and don't get me wrong. Like, going through like ESPN. Seeing some of these like extreme ways that people are entertaining themselves. There was this one yesterday. Like, I guarantee they don't listen to the show, obviously. But there was one yesterday. I don't know if you saw it or not. It was extreme balloon. It was like an extreme game of keep it up. Like, I don't know if you ever played that as a kid. Like, don't let it hit the ground. Like, with a balloon. Like, the first one to let it hit the ground loses. They were playing... Oh, it was freaking extreme. Like, they're jumping all over the place, jumping over furniture. And they, like, slowed it down. They had, like, some slow motion shots, too. Like, and had to, like, go to the tape to see, like, oh, did it touch the ground? Or did you get it before it touched the ground type of situation?
Seriously?
Oh, dude, it was so entertaining. But that's the lack of sports. I'm, like, half tempted to open
up. So pretty much ESPN is just turn it to everyday the Ocho.
The Corona has turned ESPN into the Ocho. Anything that we can do, like, to get any type of entertainment at all, they're showing like old clips of Kobe and like Allen Iverson and like everything. And I need new sports in my life, and I need wrestling too. Like, it doesn't need to be with a crowd, but it needs to be wrestling now. We didn't touch on WrestleMania. If you want,
no, because you were sick.
Yeah, whatever you say. WrestleMania. I mean, it definitely goes down. It was definitely a first, and they announced like WWE 2K 2K21 has been canceled. Did you see that report?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, 2K21 has been canceled.
No shit.
Yeah, because like they have to have everyone come in and. Like, do everything for the game, and this is roughly around about the time. Well,
yeah, that's true. I can see
with how many people there are, and there were a lot of people that came out. Like, look, like, if that's not the case, like, if we're not going to have 2K21, can there be a download for 2K20 where we can see what the set of WrestleMania 36 would have looked like?
Yeah.
What it was supposed to look like. Which, I love that idea. Like, I was, especially when they announced that it was going to be in Tampa, the theme was going to be, like, Buccaneer themed, like the pirate theme.
Oh, yeah.
With everything that they could have incorporated with that, I would have loved to see what the set would have looked like.
Well, you know what that means? Is that just means WrestleMania 38 has to be back in Tampa, and then they don't have to build a set. They already have it ready to go.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, it's kind of like they're a shoe-in for it. Like, they haven't announced, like, next year it's going to be in Hollywood. So, you get your West Coast.
Yeah.
Now,
Come back to the East Coast.
And then, like, everyone's just going to be like, okay, well, what pandemic is it going to be this time? Like, and just waiting and whatever. I don't know. I don't think they will, though. Maybe they'll go back to New York or something.
No, they said they were thinking about going back to Tampa because they didn't get it. They weren't able to have it this year.
Well, only time will tell at this point. I'm sure once it's announced, it's like all the people are going to come out and be like, oh, well, that's obvious, obviously. And who knows? Only time will tell. But I wasn't upset with WrestleMania, especially considering the circumstances. They had some really entertaining matches. I loved the Firefly Funhouse. That was extremely entertaining. So, thoughts on that at all that you'd like
that,
to share?
That one was more trippy to me. Like, there are still some parts of that I'm not sure why they, like, went, why they flipped to. I think I was more entertained by the Boneyard match.
I liked the Boneyard match. There were a lot of people that just, like, with... there were a few matches that everyone kind of came out and said, like, oh, match of the night, match of the night, match of the night. And the one match that everyone was talking about on top of the Boneyard match, which I found very entertaining. I thought it would have been better if he had came in to Limp Bizkit personally and really brought back the American Badass Undertaker. But the Last Man Standing match, deemed by Dave Meltzer as the worst Last Man Standing match in WrestleMania history.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that guy.
I can't stand Meltzer, but he said, and there was a lot of people that came out too, like with the spot in the match where like Randy Orton hangs Edge, but it was the same type of equipment that Chris Benoit hung himself with. So that like really irked some people. Well, at the same point, it was just bad timing because like Dark Side of the Ring came out earlier that week with the story, or close to it. Came out with the story of Chris Benoit. So it was like fresh in people's memory. So I think that's why a lot more people were... Now, hanging someone, not obviously the best option anyway, but I think that that was kind of the takeaway that people had. They're just letting that one spot ruin what was actually a really good match. And a match 9 years in the making. I wish it was in front of a crowd. I wish they got the ultimate payout from it, but... I mean, I'll take it regardless and see where it builds from there.
Dude, it was
it was great.
People are nitpicking because there's nothing else to do right now. People are just fucking nitpicking and need to suck it up and just enjoy wrestling. Yeah. I thought it was great.
I thought it was good.
I didn't realize when all of a sudden they're like half hour or something like in. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that definitely went the distance, and then
like I did not realize how long they were in this goddamn match, but it was great.
It was like even the ladder match, they had to pull an audible with it and make it like it was a tag team ladder match. But I think they could have did a lot more if it was full tag team. But they still put on a great show with the Usos, the New Day, and Morrison, and. It's unfortunate that they had to do what they had to do just to make it happen, but, I mean, it still turned out to be a great match. One match that I was not a fan of at all, call me out if you'd like, I was not a fan of Becky and Shayna. I did not like that match at all. I was not a fan. I didn't think
it... I think they told a little bit of an interesting story, just kind of beating the crap out of each other. I was surprised at the outcome.
I was too.
I will say that.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of irks me more. It's like, why are you building Shayna into this unstoppable force? Like, I just look back at Elimination Chamber. Okay, she was unstoppable. There was nobody. Literally, she squashed everyone in seconds. In seconds.
And like, then you have Asuka. Because we literally just said, you had to pull an audible.
Yeah,
true. I think this whole situation had you pull an audible in so many forms.
Well, yeah,
your tag team ladder match was a triple threat ladder match with only three people for a tag team title.
And then
Braun Strowman, which I'm happy he finally got the belt.
It's 2 years too late,
and I hope that like I even told you, man, what they're about to build towards, I am all for.
Like, I agree.
I am. They could drag this one out a while too, and it could turn massive.
What are they building towards? Because I've heard a lot of mixed stories. What are they building towards? What have you heard?
What do you mean? What are they building towards?
What are they building towards with Braun Strowman? Like, are they
Bray Wyatt?
That's what I heard too. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
You didn't see the end of SmackDown?
No, I did not.
Okay, so
So
did not what, see it.
Shinsuke, the beginning of Smack. Well, I watched. Well, I fast forwarded through it, but Shinsuke came out and challenged him for a title shot.
Saw that.
So the end of that, it was Shinsuke versus Braun. They had their title shot, their title fight, and then at the very end, there was a Firefly Funhouse.
Hmm.
Yeah, not there was a Firefly. That. Yeah.
Yep. It would teach me to watch.
I even texted you. Braun versus Bray, I'm here for it.
Well, I didn't know what you were talking about. I always think you saw something on Twitter or something. I don't know. I didn't put the puzzle because
they did it on SmackDown.
Bro, it was my anniversary. I wasn't gonna watch SmackDown. Yeah,
dude, that's why I watched. I fast forwarded through it on Saturday.
Yeah, it was my anniversary. Like, wasn't gonna watch it. Yep. So I watched before that. I think in its place, I watched the end of NXT, which, don't get me wrong, that match with Johnny and Ciampa was.
I didn't watch that.
Oh my god, it was so good, absolutely fantastic. I love the finish and the new character for Candice. Oh yeah, you need to go watch that now and find out exactly what I'm talking about. That was.
I just can't get into NXT.
How can you not? Because they're not fucking wrestling. Yes, they are. They're doing a lot more wrestling on
wrestling. Wow, they finally fucking started.
No, they had been
before WrestleMania. WWE had probably 5 total fucking matches.
Oh no! Yeah, they saw what AEW was
so one
doing.
Week where, coming out of WrestleMania, they finally fucking decided to do something.
No, they finally decided to do something because they just had Takeover on NXT, and the main event, there was
no Takeover on NXT.
No, it was the matches from Takeover that were supposed to happen at Takeover on NXT. That's what I'm
WrestleMania. Exactly, post-WrestleMania.
But now WWE is an essential business, so now they can actually have shows. They're not worried about... I don't fucking know. Yeah, you're right. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Who knows?
It was leading into WrestleMania. Like, I fell so out of wrestling because AEW was the only one wrestling. But even then, I could not get into their shit. I could not get into anything they've been doing.
Oh, I could and with now, AEW. I could with
and
AEW.
And now you're coming. And now coming out of WrestleMania, they're deciding, hey, let's actually fucking wrestle. And somehow they convinced. They probably paid off the fucking governor of California to say, Florida. Hey, we're an essential business.
The governor of Florida, you mean?
Yes, Not California. I retract. Not California. Florida.
Yeah. So.
But still.
Anywho. So, I mean. Only time will tell. There's tons of stuff that's going on. Now, kudos to our friends over at IWC for providing endless content over and over with live feeds all across their pages with all the different shows that they're putting on. If you haven't done so, definitely check them out. Love supporting them. So if you haven't yet, go follow the International Wrestling Cartel with all of their content. Even though they've canceled so many fantastic events. I mean, Night of the Superstars, they've had to cancel.
But I think they rescheduled. Oh, no, they straight up canceled that for next year.
Postponed it until next year. And then they had
It's proving ground they're trying to lump in with Super Indy.
Yep, that's exactly what they're doing. And then they're going to award, I believe, if I read it correctly, I believe they're awarding like one of the spots in the Super Indy to one of their most recent graduates, if memory serves me correctly, but don't quote me on that. But anywho, that's going to do it for this week's episode. If you do want to follow along, if you haven't already, you can find us all across social media. You can find Jock Samson and all of our posts and all of our pictures all across social media as well. If you haven't already started following him, you can find his tags in all of our posts as well, and also in the description of this video as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook as well. If you haven't already, search us on Facebook. Go ahead and do it now. Shoot me a DM. Let me know, hey, heard about you guys on the show, and maybe there'll be some cool merch coming out to you as well. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe I'll just send you a couple pins, because my wife knows I need to get rid of some. So, yeah, and I need to get rid of some of my other memorabilia as well, which...
she's about ready to just give away to Goodwill anyway. So maybe I'll send it over to you. So at this time, once again, thank you so much. Stay safe. Wash your hands, and we'll see you next week.